Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
This hour of the Mornings with Ed show is being brought to you by Wealthwise Financial Services. Wealthwise Financial Services is wealth management redefined. And as we do each and every Wednesday, we are so glad to have with us the president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert. Welcome, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Great to be here.
It's great to have you this morning. And I should have said, well, with the award-winning and soon to be decorated at the Forbes Women's Summit, Laureen Gilbert, how are you?
Oh, thank you. Yes, heading to that summit on Sunday in Palm Beach, Florida, which I hear is a lovely place. I've never been there, now, but I'm looking forward to it.
I find it hard to believe that you, the Globetrotter, has not been to Palm Beach, Florida yet.
I have not, but I hear there is a lot of wealth there, and so it's appropriate that the Forbes Shook Women's Summit is being held there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, congratulations to you, first of all, for being honored, and good luck, and enjoy Florida. Enjoy it, and I want to get some feedback from you on what you thought of it.
Enjoy the heat and the humidity. That's what Florida has.
Yeah, and take some mosquito spray, I guess, too.
There you go. I guess so.
So let's talk about what I guess everyone is concentrating on this week, and that's what we may be talking about, an extremely bearish May. Talk to us about the bear market that we might be seeing here.
Sure. So we are in a bear market, and you know, a classic bear market definition is a 20% decline off the high, or about 18% on the S&P 500, but the NASDAQ has been much greater than that. And so with that, you know, when we're in a bear market, let me give you some perspective on bear markets. There have been 17 bear markets, or close to what is a bear market, for the S&P 500 since World War II. 8 of those 17 times, we did not go into a recession. So not quite 50%, like a little bit less, but, and that's what's hard. So when we don't go into a recession, then the bear market lasts around 7 months. Now, going into recession, the downward drop tends to be higher, more like 35% on average, and tends to last longer, more like 15 months. And then the other thing is that if we look at their 1978, 1998, 2011, 2018, they were 19% drops of the S&P 500, all without a recession. And what makes investors nervous right now is trying to figure out, okay, so are we going into recession or not? And our opinion is, at least right now, that we do not see an immediate recession. And the main reason for that is the strength of employment. And it's very hard to go into a recession when you have a really strong employment backdrop. Right. But what I'll say as far as the term that we use is the wall of worry. So there is always going to be something to worry about. And, you know, right now we have what we call a wall of worry, because between, you know, we've got the Ukraine situation, the inflation situation, COVID. Now, by the way, all those three, as far as immediate concerns about the market, are starting to wane a little bit. But even this morning, you know, after we had a rally yesterday, today the big wall of worry is rising costs. So there's what I want to say to investors is there's always going to be something to worry about. And if you invested based on the wall of worry, you'll never make money. The other important fact about these bear markets is 12 months out, we tend to have double-digit returns to the upside. So, you know,
there is good
what
news.
Do you do? Yeah, what do you do in the middle of a bear market? You know, if you have cash, it's investing it over a period of time. And since those averages without the recession is more like 7 months, then I say over the next 6 months, you start placing money in month after month after month and basically do dollar cost averaging in. If you, all your money's already invested, then it's a matter of looking at where we are, obviously working with your financial advisor doing things like we've done, which was pull in some cash so that then we can buy some equities after they have, you know, taken some of the hit. But, you know, certainly working with your advisor on what to do with your existing dollars.
So we're at 18% now, as you mentioned. And once the decline reaches that arbitrary 20% mark, has it suffered most of its losses by that point?
Yeah, on average, without a recession, it's down 24%.
Okay.
So, you know, we still could. What I'll say is that the good news is that the forward PE, price to earnings ratio, has dropped significantly from over 21% down to 17%. And the long-term average of forward PE is 17. So that's a reasonable valuation. Now, in times of recession, we may get down to 14 forward PE, which is a bargain. That's what, you know, that's right. Bargain shopping. But if we don't have a recession, which our base case right now is not going into a recession, then, you know, 17 is reasonable.
Okay. So there are, as you explained to me quite clearly, during bear markets, investors might choose to do one of three things, either sell, stay invested, or look for opportunities. Describe those differences for us.
So, yeah, well, sell is a bad idea, and that's somebody who's panicking.
Okay.
And or they need money. You know, like right now, we have a client who's buying a property in cash, and we're having to liquidate seven figures for that purchase. That's tough in the middle of a bear market to do that. I mean, we're going to do it because this person needs those seven figures, but not an easy time to do that. So selling during a bear market is to be avoided as much as possible. And by the way, for retirees needing that monthly income stream, the more they can rely and maybe use some of their savings or decrease some of their purchases during this time, that will help their portfolios quite a bit. For those that, you know, are understanding this is long term and I need to stay invested in the market and, you know, not do anything crazy. Like I said, it's a matter of us doing some maneuvering and being tactical where we can. And then lastly, on opportunities, you know, I think we're pretty close.
Okay.
I think we're pretty close on capitulation if we haven't already had it. Most likely, if we're going to have that extra downward draft that takes us more to 24% decline, I think it's going to happen in the next month, you know, so during that, you know, like end of May-ish, you know, over. So if we're going to see it, we're probably going to see it sooner than later if we have that extra capitulation.
Thank you so much for that clarity. I appreciate that. And I heard something on the radio the other day. I couldn't believe I had to immediately text you. Starla, is this true? The dollar is worth more than ever before? What is it? If it's true, what does it mean? And what is that a product of?
So the dollar is incredibly strong, which, by the way, we started the year thinking the dollar was going to become weaker, but because of all the geopolitical issues going on and because we have a Fed that's raising rates stronger and faster than the other areas around the globe, what does that do? That means that investors looking to buy, let's say, treasuries, as that yield goes up, they're going to buy more. It's making the dollar stronger. In fact, I'm heading to Europe in June, and the euro is now at 95 cents
wow.
to the $1 for the U.S., which is incredible. So incredibly strong, which means that if you're going overseas, it means your dollar is stronger against many other currencies, means that it's going to feel less expensive. So for everybody worried about, you know, the inflationary pressures and everything costing more, if you go overseas with your dollars, in many places, you're going to have a very strong dollar, and it's going to be able to travel further for you. So, you know, that's where, and everybody's interested in traveling right now. So in a way, that international traveling could be more of a bargain.
Right. Purchasing power with the dollar over there now.
The other thing I want to mention, though, is it also, when you're investing internationally, you know, with a stronger dollar, it's not going to benefit us as much internationally. When the dollar is weakening, than investing international. Another reason why we have been increasing domestic exposure, we have decreased international, at least for now.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. And have a good time in Europe. And I've already placed my order with you, right?
Right. Exactly.
What to purchase
for me. What to bring you back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I'm reading that Berkshire Hathaway is now pulled completely out of Wells Fargo. And I think my question is Wells Fargo too big to care about something like that?
So a couple things. Buffett is on a buying streak, right, recently purchasing over $51 billion of assets. And it's in, you know, his favorite, you know, he has some favorite areas of the market, and one is financial. So right, he's not selling Wells Fargo because he doesn't like the overall sector. He does like the sector as far as financials, but it has to do with reputational risk. And he was getting pressure from shareholders saying that that was creating a stain on the brand. And he's been selling off those shares and just disclosed that he sold off the final amount of those shares. So, I don't think any public company thinks they're too big to care about a large investor. I can't speak for Wells Fargo and their response, but I think that any public company cares when an institutional investor is selling. Certainly, they want the institutional investors to buy.
Right, and when you talk about reputation, Wells Fargo obviously had the fake account scandal, the overcharging foreign exchange customers, and just a ton of other problems that they've had.
Right.
Right. Speaking of problems, Walmart and Target took a dive. Is this just expected because of higher costs and supply chain issues, or is this something else?
Yeah, you know, it's and this is part of what the market is reacting, the broader market is reacting to today, because retail is being impacted by higher costs. And with that, like you said, Walmart, Target, they reported that they're suffering from the rising costs, and so they're saying that their profit took a hit from expenses related to hiring, fuel, and supply chain. So here's what I'll tell you, Ed. We actually thought we would hear that throughout earnings season from everybody. We didn't. Up until this week of retail reporting, profit margins had been maintained, and you and I have talked about that.
Yes.
And that was a surprise for us. We thought that we'd been in. So it's not surprising to me that Walmart and Target and some of these others are feeling the impact. And it's a reality that has to be faced, is that these higher costs are there. And then if they can or cannot push it to the consumer, that will affect their bottom line. So I think what we're going to see is that we're going to see definitely some increased pricing from somebody. And the whole issue with Walmart is they've tried not to do that because they are seen as that value place to go, and they don't want to raise their costs. So we'll see going forward, but the reality is that retailers are being hit.
Okay. All right. And before I let you go, I did want to talk about just quickly what we both delighted in our pre-conversation, and that's the U.S. women's team and U.S. soccer. The U.S. soccer itself is going to become the first federation in the world to equalize FIFA World Cup prize money. How great is that?
You know, it's certainly great for those women soccer players who have felt that they were doing the same work and, you know, and not being rewarded. And so it's been tough for these organizations because they base the pay on advertising. And so hopefully the advertisers will step up at the same time and want to promote women's soccer in the same way that they're promoting men's soccer. And then they have the resources in order to continue to pay.
Right. Well, thank you so very much, as always, for being here. How do our listeners find you, Laureen?
WealthWiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
All right. We wish you all the best in Florida. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you, Ed. And we'll talk to you this next week.
All right. We'll talk to you
probably
soon.
Probably from Florida.
I can't wait.
Okay.
See you, Laureen.
Talk to you then.
All right.
Thanks.
It's 8:18. It's the Mornings with Ed show. Money.